In 1997, a small island disappeared in the Pacific, engulfed in what can only be described as a massive weather event. It took with it the lives of 4 meteorologists and 1 pilot. Their bodies were, of course, never found. This event may not seem familiar, and that's because it never happened. At least, that's what the U.S. government claims. I worked for them in 97. I was a younger man then, tempted by the thrill of storm chasing. When they offered to sponsor my hobby, I accepted without a second thought. Sure that I would be thrust into the heart of the deadliest situation imaginable. I, in fact, spent most of my time being at a computer screen, monitoring blips on a radar and reporting my findings to my superiors. I wasn't the one to find the island in the Pacific. It landed on my desk one day. An order to keep a close eye on this place. An uninhabited mark on my screen. For weeks, I did constant checkups on this little place. There had to be no abnormal patterns present. It began to confuse me. Why was I watching a place where nothing happened? And then it began. At first, it seemed like a hurricane. It had all the features of a hurricane except one. It hadn't formed over water. The storm had formed over the land itself, it seemed. My radar showed the ever-increasing weather clearly, and I noted it carefully in my report. For weeks, I had watched this island in the Pacific. And then I received a memo. My supervisors would begin working with me to study the island itself, track the odd patterns present. However, we were only aids to others. 4 meteorologists would be sent to the island to observe the conditions for themselves, and see what samples they could collect from the island. And the atmospheric conditions near it. We would be sent their findings and do further analysis on them. While I would have preferred to have been sent to the island myself, I was fine working behind the scenes, especially with the raise in pay that came along with this specific project. Our team was moved from our station into another room in our facility, and in the week preceding the meteorologist's search, we continued to observe dangerous patterns on the island. Talking amongst ourselves, we on the team suggested that the researchers not go, out of concern for their safety. The higher-ups did not agree with us, and told us that the research was of utmost importance and needed to be conducted. This news was blunt. And when it was given, it was definite and unwavering. In my boss's eyes, I saw something I was surprised to see. Fear. The meteorologists were taken to the island via a small plane. We on the team were not given anything but identifiers for them so that we could keep track of their findings. No names. Just A, B, C, D, and P, the pilot of the plane. The team was kept very unaware of everything going on in terms of the research being sent back. The meteorologists were told to use code for what they had found on the island, which we would give to our supervisors. It was strange reading reports of high levels of Klondike in the air, traces of beta in the soil. It was all so secretive, so restricted from us. We were middlemen, only there to receive these odd messages. The only actual person we were allowed to communicate with was the pilot, who could speak to us through the radio installed in his plane. And this was hardly ever used. The researcher's first week on the island was normal, excluding the code used. They relayed information back to us at a normal rate based on their findings. Everything seemed to run very smooth. We monitored the weather they described on our screens, pouring rain, high winds, hail. It was the second week where the real anomalies began. The meteorologists stopped sending us reports. We tried every possible way to contact them. Only silence came from their end. Even our superiors seemed alarmed by this. They began to get involved. They visited our offices more, always asking on the progress of the operation to get a signal. For a full week, we heard absolutely nothing back. And then, out of nowhere, it came. One single transmission. 3 words that still fill me with dread when they creep into my head late at night when no one else is there. C is dead. And that was all. Immediately, our small communications room was filled with people of high rank. Not only my superiors, but my boss's boss. They scrutinized those three words, searching for a story that wasn't written. We on the weather team stayed back and watched the chaos unfold in front of us. The men scrambled to find an answer. Then the second message came through. We'll continue mission as planned. The next day, it was so cold. Like the island, it was distant, isolated. We couldn't feel what was there in the words. If we could, I'm not sure that we would have felt any better. What could we do? We waited for the higher-ups to leave and continued our work without talking to each other. We kept quiet to ourselves, mulling over the strange horror that had taken our team by surprise. I doubt we could have told each other what we were feeling that day, even if we had tried. The next day, I didn't want to come to work. I felt drained, out of place. I was being taken for a ride that I didn't want to go on, kidnapped and held hostage by the circumstances I had put myself in. Apparently my team must have felt the same way, because only about half of us showed up at all. Strangely, the routine became normal again. The meteorologists began transmitting at a normal rate again, with their strange code made specifically for people that were not us. This went on for another week. Reports came in at a normal rate, and strangely, it seemed that the event faded from memory. That is, until it happened again. It came again as we were all about to leave the office. As we packed up our satchels and put on our jackets, we received another transmission from one of the researchers that made us all stop in our tracks. Lost A and D. Unlikely they will return. Cannot continue with search. Investigation has shown positive. For God's sake, send help. Evacuation is needed. Release us from this hell. We were speechless. It truly was more than any of us could handle. Some left the room to get our supervisors, some left to get air. A lot left and never came back. We were weather experts, not soldiers. Loss was not something we were used to. The message hit the team hard. Again, people crowded into our small room to gawk at our computer screens, but in my boss's eyes, I saw no surprise. Only regret. There were no transmissions for a while. To the team, this was almost a blessing. We were afraid of what the next mission might be. So for us, it was better not to hear back at all. There were only a few of us left in our team now. Our small computer room had become a terrifying portal to a strange land. On our screens, the storm still raged, only getting more intense every day. It grew in size and density, expanding grotesquely before our eyes. It was the following Tuesday that we received our final word from the island. We had had no transmission for 5 days, apart from spare letters and numbers that made no sense. We all jumped when the crackling came through the radio that we used to communicate with the pilot. It began as heavy breathing, compressed under a layer of static. I quickly turned the radio to find the most clear frequency. A shrill female voice cut through suddenly, not the male pilot that I'd heard before, and I leaned forward to listen.
Under all counts, I know what I've done is treason. If you're reading this, please, allow me to return. You do not know the horrors here. Please let me return.
Beneath her desperate cries, the sounds of a storm raged. After the radio transmission, she still spoke, uttering prayers and repeating her last statement over and over again. For 5 minutes, she did this. We sat with our hands covering our open mouths, unsure how to proceed. Someone went to tell the supervisor, but he never came to see. There were no onlookers this time. Just our team. And the sounds on the radio. After those 5 minutes, her prayers turned into a shriek. She shouted, "No, no." And then the radio transmission cut out. On our computer screens, the storm completely overtook the island. It increased drastically in size, density, and speed. All the team left the room except for me. Some cried, others were too shocked to speak, but I stayed, infatuated by what I saw displayed on the screen. The storm moved so fast, I watched as it moved, breaking apart, and saw all the pieces move into the ocean. As the storm cleared, I refreshed my screen to make sure that I hadn't encountered a glitch in my system. The island was gone. I was offered a large severance package the next day. They thanked me for my help on the weather monitoring project. I took the money and never went back to storm chasing. I can hardly stand the rain. When it beats on my windows at night, I'm only reminded of the colors on my screen that shook me to my core so many years ago. I'll never know what was on the island, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'm not sure that I really want to.